When Stella Knightley tried on that black chiffon dress in a Parisian boutique, she never imagined it would transform her life. The garment embraced her with the scent of apricots and vanilla, making her serious face appear touchingly sensual and her gray eyes mysteriously smoky. Though she couldn't justify spending her inheritance on such extravagance, the dress became the first breadcrumb on a path to discovering her family's secrets and her own identity. Stella's relationship with her mother Celia had always been complicated. From her earliest years, Stella never used maternal terms, only Celia, a woman who insisted she was not born to be anyone's mother. When Celia died in a taxi accident, her lawyer delivered her final instruction, go to Paris, along with funds for the trip. Though initially resistant, 6 months later, Stella found her carefully constructed life felt hollow without Celia as her counterpoint. Despite her inheritance, Stella lived frugally in Paris, creating rigid schedules and methodically visiting tourist attractions while feeling increasingly isolated. After nearly a month, she revisited the strange dress shop, drawn by another remarkable garment. Against her better judgment, Stella purchased the black Dior dress with Severine on its label. The eccentric shopkeeper gave her peculiar instructions that would lead her into a world of sensory awakening and self-discovery.
Childhood wounds profoundly shape adult lives. For Stella, her mother's emotional absence created a void, manifesting in rigid routines and self-denial. Celia had reinvented herself at 15, abandoning her Brooklyn accent to become a sought-after personal shopper at Bergdorf Goodman. She created the Charlotte Knickerbocker persona for her gossip column and fiercely guarded her independence. When pregnant, Celia acted as if no man existed. When Stella asked about her father, Celia claimed she'd named her after Stella Artois Beer, saying, "I hoped you would be a star," typically with scorn. The deepest wound came when Stella was 7. Celia's wealthy boyfriend Mortimer sexually abused Stella during painting lessons. When Stella finally spoke up, Celia merely asked if she wanted to stop the lessons. Mortimer disappeared, but Stella suspected her mother continued seeing him, unable to resist his wealth. Stella found sanctuary in museums, discovering she could dream herself into paintings. The Metropolitan Museum became her refuge, a place to be alone in a crowd, a pattern continuing until Paris began breaking down her walls.
Imagine spending your life eating only for sustenance, then suddenly discovering food as poetry. This happened to Stella when she wore the black Dior dress to Les Deux Magots. As she savored oysters and Chablis, she experienced new pleasure in food, the wine melting her rigid self. Jules Delatour, an elegant elderly man nearby, shared stories of meeting Picasso and Cocteau. At the museum, he introduced her to Manet's Olympia, a painting of a naked woman whose gaze suggested her body could be purchased, but her mind remained her own. Jules explained the painting's controversial history and its model, Victorine Louise Murant, an aspiring painter herself. At L'Ami Louis, Jules introduced Stella to extraordinary cuisine. Though initially embracing these experiences, she grew cautious when he invited her to his country home. She returned the expensive dress, using the money to extend her Paris stay and pursue Victorine's lost paintings. What began as academic curiosity became personal. With each experience, Stella shed her constraints, discovering pleasure wasn't something to be earned, but experienced.
Don't we all long to rescue something valuable from oblivion? For Stella, finding Victorine's paintings became a mission to restore a forgotten woman artist's legacy. With 7-year-old Lucy as her assistant, Stella searched Paris churches for Victorine's baptism record. Their search through the third arrondissement led them to Sainte-Élisabeth de Hongrie, where they found Victorine's 1844 record. Her mother was a milliner, her father a stonemason. At the Archives Nationales, they discovered Victorine lived until 1927, dying at 83. Though neighbors had burned most of her belongings after her death, one painting might have survived. At the Porte de Vannes flea market, Lucy discovered a portrait signed V. Murant, a mature, red-headed woman with Victorine's unmistakable gaze. Jules confirmed it was possibly the only authenticated Muiron painting in existence, a discovery that would later fund Stella's artistic journey.
Have you ever met someone and instantly recognized a transcendent connection? With Victorine's painting secured, Stella sought out the chef who might be her father, bolstered by the artwork and Jules's support. She headed to Enghien-les-Bains wearing Séverine's elegant Viognier dress. The moment was electric. Stella immediately recognized Django as the figure from Celia's painting. Learning about his daughter, Django broke down in tears, overwhelmed by all he'd missed. Tension arose when Django appeared unannounced at her apartment the next morning, invoking newfound paternal rights. Stella resisted. 3 decades of independence made his sudden authority feel intrusive. Despite maintaining emotional distance, Django transformed her world. His charm converted Shakespeare and Company's neglected kitchen into a culinary studio, where he and Lucy turned humble ingredients into extraordinary creations. Stella found herself drawn to these sessions, seeing how Django's challenging impulsiveness became remarkable in the kitchen. When Stella cooked at Jules' house, Django noticed her hands moved with natural grace, possessing inherited wisdom. Working beside him required few words, their minds synchronized in an almost mystical culinary dance. This compatibility sparked both joy and regret in Django. "You have the touch, the instinct," he told her sadly. "We could have built something extraordinary together." When Stella asked if it was too late, his eyes lit with possibility. Django taught Stella to trust her senses, touching pots to gauge doneness, identifying ripeness through scent. At Paris's markets, vendors treated Django with reverence, and his introduction of Stella as "my daughter" filled her with belonging. Together, they transformed a modest space into Chez Django, both casual and elegant. Their pre-dawn market expeditions became rituals where Django taught Stella to spot overlooked treasures.
Strange how the family we choose often heals wounds left by the family we're born into. In Paris, Stella discovered family in unexpected places. Jules became a father figure, offering culinary guidance and an apartment on Rue Christine that became her first true Parisian home. Shakespeare and Company bookstore evolved into a second home, with George Whitman seeing potential in Stella she hadn't recognized. His daughter Lucy became like a sister, helping with research and recipe testing. Professional connections blossomed into personal bonds. Mademoiselle Dussain revealed warmth beneath her stern exterior. Market vendors who once dismissed her began greeting her by name and reserving choice ingredients for Django's daughter. On Chez Django's opening night, her chosen family gathered. Jules in the kitchen, Jean-Marie charming guests, George quoting poetry, and Lucy managing the front. The evening's most touching moment came when Jean-Marie presented Stella with his mother's Dior dress, her name sewn above the signature, confirming she had truly found her place.